Paradise Podcast. This is October 6th, 2013, and I have for you special edition podcast number 2. This is an interview with a young man who initially contacted me on my question line. And his question was the same one I get asked all the time, which is, where can I find a woman to peg me? And I answered this and responded in my usual manner. And one of the things my listeners who have been listening to me for some time know is that I recommend that men consider going to a sex worker, a professional. That's exactly what this young man did. And bless his heart, he called in and wanted to talk about it. So the initial starting of this interview is a little rough. Forgive me, this is my first interview. So, but beyond that, I hope you enjoy this. This was really a remarkable conversation. And thanks to the young man, a thousand thanks to you. So many, sir. Okay, enjoy, everybody.
Hi.
It's nice to connect with you. Is this a good time?
Yeah. I don't have anyone else to talk to about this.
I totally understand. And I have very few men who will call and tell me their stories. So let me first start and say that you called me fairly recently. You were actually the very first phone call that I had on my question line. And you left a message about how to find someone to do pegging with. Mm-hmm. And I actually read that on my last podcast and answered that. And now you're calling back. And tell me the news.
Okay, so I took your advice. And since I didn't have, anyone, basically I had an offer from a friend with benefits to do this, and I didn't trust her to do it, just because of her personality. And I just didn't feel like she would, just the type of personality she has. And so I went and took kind of a risk and took your advice, and I did a little Google searching around, and I found somebody in my area who specializes in it.
Oh, I love it. Excellent.
Yeah, so it was pretty remarkable. I'm like, I found someone, and she's got a website, and she specializes in it. And
that's so awesome. So do you mind saying what area you're in, or would you prefer not to?
Southern California.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah. I probably need to get her name after we hang up.
Yeah. So here I am, I'm going to take your advice, Ruby. I'm going to kind of go for it, right? Because there's nothing really bad that could happen. I mean, I thought about it, and it's like, as long as, everything is safe and clean and discreet, I was like, nothing bad could happen, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, so, let me ask you a question first. Were you interested with this professional? Were you interested in just the pegging, or did you want to mix it with any other kinks? Or what were you going there specifically for, in addition to, if there was anything?
At this point, I basically put it to her in, I basically said to her, I'm a virgin.
I love it. Yes, absolutely.
I have experience on my own. I have a lot of experience on my own.
Nice.
With solo play, with the narrows and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to have the experience of somebody doing it to me, a girl doing it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was fine with that. And so there was kind of this back and forth over email. She's like making sure I'm going to show up, and all this stuff. And I don't get the location until the last minute. It's all very, very discreet, back and forth. And here I am starting to think, oh, crap, what have I gotten myself into?
It can be a little unnerving, yes, from what I understand. But they take all those precautions, obviously, for a reason. And they work real hard to vet you just as hard as, you're trying to make sure that they're okay.
Yeah, and I think her process for vetting me was, first of all, hearing what I was looking for, but also getting to see if I could follow directions. I think that was really important to her.
Interesting, uh-huh.
Would I follow a procedure? Would I be responsive on email back and forth? You know, kind of testing me for my sincerity, right? Mm. Because on her website, her rules are very specific. You don't touch her. You don't. You don't touch her at all, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually doesn't touch the client at all, except for what she's sticking up Uranus.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't touch. You know, she's not doing any genital touching or anything. There's a little bit of like mutual, but anyway, before I get too far ahead of myself, anyway, that was the rule going in, and so I'm like, this sounds like pretty much the niche person that I'd be looking for, right? Somebody who's serious, who's very specific about this, knows what the need is out there.
Yeah, and very, very experienced in it is what she sounds like, yeah.
Yeah, and so coming up to it, you know, I was getting kind of nervous. I'm like, you know, can I trust this person? You know, is she going to, I'm having all these thoughts, like, is she going to rip me off?
Right.
You know what I mean? Is she going to be safe with me? You know, all this kind of goes through your head. But, you know, I don't know. I went through with it anyway.
and you found her on Google, you said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't even remember the search sequence I went through. But
the search terms. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So I finally show up at her place, and this is actually today.
Wow.
I'm calling you that it happened. And so she said there's a little bit of a mini interview first, which was fine. You know, I was glad that I was going to get like a consultation with this person before we actually started anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we discussed safety. She said, yes, you know, I bleach my toys. I use condoms on my toys, all that kind of stuff.
Were you asking her if she used condoms, or she was asking you?
I asked her.
Got it. So she was the one that had the toys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was my concern, right? Because she's basically saying, just show up. You don't need to bring anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, I wanted to make sure that she was at least doing that much. Because obviously, yeah, you don't want to mess around. I mean, if somebody is not, it's like if she didn't use condoms on the toys, I would have walked out.
Wow. Well, I mean, because toys are technically sterilizable, you know, and I don't mean technically like in sort of. I mean, you know, good silicone toys are absolutely sterilizable. But on the other hand, there's a sort of an emotional thing about if you're using a condom, then you're safe. And So I get where you're coming from, and it's good to know that's what she does.
Yeah, because you don't know exactly the process that she's doing, and so I'm a little bit more particular about that kind of thing than most people are.
I see.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I did with, so, you know, in that interview process, and then we talked for maybe 5 or 10 minutes. She was young, I would say around late 20s, early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
She was adorable. She was cute. And so basically it was at her place. So it was as if I was going to a massage therapist that works out of her place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was exactly what it was. And I said that to her, and then I walked into the room, and sure enough, there's a massage table there. You know, so it's just like being, you know, if it wasn't, it's just a very specialized form of massage, right? So,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
very specialized, yes.
Yeah. So she did the same thing that my massage therapist would do and say, okay, make yourself comfortable and I'll leave the room and I'll come back when you're ready. I mean, it was that.
Those
that
are
was pretty familiar.
The words. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was like, this is just like being a massage therapist, you know, so, so I go. So I strip.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else to do, so I strip.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like lying on the table completely naked, and she walks in, and she's got lingerie on, which was nice.
Nice.
So she's basically started me off with her hands in gloves, warming me up that way. I was, mm-hmm. Of course, very tense in the beginning. I think for the first third or so, I was pretty tense.
Mm-hmm.
And that was okay, I guess. I don't know. It just didn't feel quite right to me. And then she moved on to a small butt plug.
Mm-hmm.
And that took a while. And then after a while, I took that. And then she moved on to a small dildo.
Mm-hmm.
Very plain, you know, just like a cylinder.
And this is all still handheld.
Yeah, she didn't put a strap on. Because I don't think we got that far with me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so the rule is with her is that if you want to get off, you masturbate yourself. She won't touch you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we did.
And what position were you, just out of curiosity, what position were you in when she was doing this to you?
We tried a few different. I was on my back for a while. I was actually standing for a while, bent over. And I was,
mm-hmm.
on my knees on the table for a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which,
yeah.
one did you like the best?
I usually like standing the best.
Wow. That's unusual. Interesting.
Yeah. I think that's because of the way I do it on my own.
Ah. Is it easier to reach that way?
I don't know.
Good question, huh? It's like, do you have anything to compare to? No.
I don't know.
And so what?
Yeah.
So, you know, what happened? Tell me more. So you got yourself off?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, you know, when something's new like that, it's really hard. It's not your usual pathway.
Yes.
To get there. To get off, so it was kind of a roundabout way to get there, and at the end, when I finally did have an orgasm at the end, it was kind of a letdown, and I think that's just because of the unfamiliarity of it all.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a big grin on my face at the end. He's like, "Oh, you're smiling."
It's always a good sign.
Yeah. And then she, you know, then afterwards she says you can shower off, which was a very nice place she had. It was very clean, very nice, and quickly showered off and had a little drink of water and thanked her and gave her a hug, and that was it. And was dying to ask her a million questions, but held back.
Wow. So what questions would you have asked her?
I did get one in. I was like, how did you get into this? And she said she had a boyfriend that turned her on to it. And that's as far as I got. But I would want to know how you start off from just getting your boyfriend off to actually doing it for strange guys coming over your place. Hi, come on in. Oh, yeah, let's go in the massage table. Okay, I'm going to start poking you with this.
Well, it's not unusual to have... And this is where I'm just going to totally get all kinds of pissed off massage therapists calling me up. But it's not unusual for some massage therapists to edge over into the sexual territory. And I'm not talking about like the silly massage therapist front stores that have nothing to do with massage therapy. I'm talking about people who do massage therapy that are really good with people's bodies. And maybe they are interested in some kind of sex worker type of stuff. And there's all kinds of different things that people can do with that. I have friends who do relationship coaching, who do G-spot, you know, massage. There's all kinds of different stuff, which I consider to be quite, you know, admirable. You know, it takes a lot to know someone's body. And so if you start doing some of the sexual stuff and then you realize what the need is for pegging, exactly like you said, there's so many men out there that need this and want this, and call me up or write me and say, where can I find a woman? Then it's an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What other questions would you have asked her?
I would want to know, you know, how she manages it. You know, how do you manage to find the right people to work with? How much money do you make off of it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the only thing you do? You know, what does your boyfriend think about it? If you have a boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
You know, all that kind of you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, those are real common.
It seemed like she had a boyfriend.
Yeah, those are real common questions for sex workers, and
mm-hmm.
As long as they're asked respectfully, I don't think that most of them really mind. I mean, I'm connected on Twitter with a certain amount of sex workers as well as Mistress Matisse, who speaks in defense of and supporting sex workers a lot. You know, trying to not just get respect for them, but safety and also legalization. And they chatter a lot on Twitter, and I watch the feed go by, and they talk about that a lot, about funny things that people say. But those are really, really common questions, because there's so many assumptions. You know, if you're a sex worker, how could you possibly have a boyfriend? Yeah, actually, a lot of them do, though. It's very interesting.
There was a shaving mirror in the shower that was obviously for a guy.
You know? You're paying attention to all the little details, yes.
Yeah, I have a shaving mirror in the shower. You know, so I'm like, oh, there's a shaving mirror there. A guy must live here too.
Uh-huh.
You know,
and that's when you started thinking, I want to ask her all these questions.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, is that your boyfriend, or you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, how fascinating and how fun for you. So here's the question, of course. Would you do it again?
It's when I kind of came out of there, I was kind of like disoriented. You know, you have such a kind of a different experience. You're kind of disoriented. You're not really sure how you feel about it.
Uh-huh.
But I'm kind of leaning towards going back, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because there's some things that I haven't done yet.
And she didn't actually strap it on, too.
Not yet, yeah.
Ooh, not yet, he says. I think you're going to go back.
I think I'm going to have to go back.
Well, I'm so glad that you called and that we got to talk, because this is, you know, I tell guys this all the time, and sometimes I get a lot of flack for it. There's a lot of discrimination out there against sex workers, and I think they're amazing. They're providing an amazing service. And I think particularly with pegging, it's a pretty amazing thing to offer, because, you know, when I point out to people, okay, if you're a guy and you're looking for a woman to do this with and you don't know if she really likes to do it, then there's all the concerns about, okay, if I find a woman to do it and she's not totally into it, that's going to feel weird. Then she's just kind of doing it for me. And, you know, she might get tired of it and think this is too much trouble. She may not like the equipment. There's so many things. Whereas if you go to a pro, it's all about you.
That's one of the things that I noticed, actually. I had kind of these typical things that I would have with a new woman. I would, you know, be like, you know, did I trim okay down there? Did I, you know, did I shave my face? You know, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do I stink? All these things that I would think of with a new girlfriend, like first time sex with a new girlfriend or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I had all those patterns in my mind. And then when I got to the day of, I was like, wait a second. And then when I finally got there, it's like, I didn't even care. You know, it was an opportunity for me. I mean, yeah, she's cute and all, but it's like this, I really did kind of realize that was the first time I would say that it was really for me. You know, this person doing it for me.
Yeah, it's lovely you were able to fall into that space and sink in and say, yeah, this is for me. Because that guys are so programmed, and, you know, and I say that with admiration, so programmed to provide women with pleasure, you know, and to do the right things in bed and give her what she wants and all that, that is a challenge with pegging as well, is being able to let go and have it be for you.
Yeah.
So she got you started well on that one.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of laughing with you saying, oh, there's nobody I can talk to about this.
there's no one I can talk to about this.
I know.
I think that one of the things that that was weird for me too was the legality of it, right? How do I manage that, being the type of person who never does anything illegal ever?
Oh.
Right? What if, you know, it's kind of the what if something bad happens legally,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, I kind of had to rationalize the scenario and thinking, you know, okay, this person is probably not the general target of the police department, right? Because she's such a specialist. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of rationalized it that way, but there was some concern that you know, whether valid or not, or whether blown out of proportion or not, there was some concern of getting busted
mm-hmm.
In my mind. And that was definitely in the background. Not just can I trust her, but, you know, what if I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time?
Yeah, and it could be something that blows up in your face and affects you for the rest of your life, and yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So from that standpoint, I guess, you know, there was a kind of a lot, there was kind of a lot to rationalize and a lot to overcome just to get me there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what got me there is I just basically decided, I was like, I don't really want to go through life wondering, you know, one, never having this experience and wondering about it, and that kind of thing.
Hmm.
And, you know, having done it, you know, while it was fun and I'm thinking I'm going to go back, it helped take the strong desire out of it. Kind of now that the fantasy is fulfilled, it's not quite so urgent. Do you know what I mean? And so maybe it won't be something that I require of, you know, a future girlfriend or that kind of thing.
Oh, that was the next question I was going to ask you, whether you are leaning more towards, okay, I mean, because I'm hearing a little bit of conflicting thing here. It's like, definitely I'm going to go back, really want her to put the strap on. And at the same time, maybe I won't require it because it, you know, obviously it took the edge off. We're talking same day here. We're talking hours ago, you know?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So that's part of it, I would assume. But I was almost expecting you to say, you know, now I know that this is what I want and I'm going to look for a girlfriend and it's going to be a deal breaker. But not necessarily.
Not necessarily. I mean, you know, I mean, it depends. I mean, you know, it could get to the point where I start to really, like I say, the first experience was probably like, I'm going to say this, probably a lot like a woman's first experience.
Oh, the joy of role reversal, yes.
Yeah, in the sense that it was good, but it wasn't like, I haven't quite got the hang of it yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm wondering if I get the hang of it, then maybe it will become a requirement. But as it stands now, it doesn't necessarily need to be a requirement.
Yeah, well, because, you know, you sound like a very young man to me.
I'll be 45 next week.
Oh, you sound much younger than 45. Yeah, because when you said, you know, I don't want to go my whole life, and I'm thinking, his whole life? I mean, how old is this guy?
Yeah.
Yep. That is an interesting sensation, though, to think about, you know, okay, I want to fulfill this desire. I mean, that's what happened to me when I hit 50. Sort of like, okay, if not now, when? And then I was off and running once I started exploring all this, and it's, you know, I haven't turned around since.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it is deal breaker. But I mean, it's kind of hard to run around and do the conferences and all that kind of stuff and the teaching and have it not be part of what happens in my bedroom too.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, because I've used in the past, I've stuck in a Narrows toy in with girlfriends.
Mm-hmm. You
know? And that actually covers a lot of the bases. You know, it's. You don't necessarily, I mean, as far as sensation goes, it really covers a lot.
Yeah, I recommend that. I recommend that actually when men have a somewhat reluctant girlfriend, sort of like she's kind of down with it, but, you know, has some reservations. It's like, great, then don't involve her her having to do anything at all and just put like a butt plug or an Eneros in there and then have regular intercourse. And then most of the time what ends up happening is the guy will have an orgasm so strong, or else he'll be reacting in ways that she's not used to, that show the intensity of the experience, and then she gets intrigued.
Right.
And then that's kind of a hook.
Right.
But that hasn't happened with you, apparently.
No, not yet, you know, not yet. Yeah, it's the kind of thing, too, I think for me personally, I've had to kind of get over my own inhibition around it, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that there was a time when I started using Eneros by myself, and then I would kind of say, you know, I'm going to stick this thing in my butt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here we go, and it's kind of like, you know, are you going to be cool with it? Are you going to think it's weird? You know, asking her if she thinks it's going to be, is it going to trip her out? You know, but
that's a concern for the vast majority of men out there, and it's a valid concern because a lot of women do get freaked out by that. I mean, there's so many misconceptions, and you know, that's why I'm out there spreading the word and talking about it, because the misconceptions feed that miscommunication in that moment. You know, the obvious one of he's gay, you know, there's so many. And then when you start getting into the more intimate parts of it and that vulnerability, I mean, that's the interesting part to me also with a pro, is because you're never going to get that emotional vulnerability connection, that intimacy, because that's just not what they do. But pegging can really put a guy in that space. And when that happens, it's good to have someone who knows how to handle that and can at least hold that space for you, as opposed to, oh, looking at you, let's say, and thinking that you're weak, you know, because you're showing the vulnerability. And that's also something that happens with women. And I'm getting so much feedback from men about how closely they feel like they have to monitor all this behavior.
Right. The other thing I wanted to mention was that you're talking about the intimacy of it. At one point, I did make eye contact with her, right, as we were in the middle of it.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of this sense that I would say kind of like me signaling to her that I'm trusting her was kind of what that was about.
Wow.
It was kind of like, okay, I'm with you. Because in the past, I mean, with girlfriends, I mean, if you lock eyes with a woman in the middle of sex, it's much more, I mean, in my opinion, it's like, okay, now we're really like connecting, right? Do you know what
yes.
I mean? Now we're really with each other.
Exactly.
So it was kind of interesting to have that happen, that she's good enough. I mean, she's, I guess to be doing that, you have to be so highly skilled in rapport that she made me feel really comfortable, you know?
That's so excellent. I mean, that's a fine line to walk. Because I have talked to pros who said that is the one thing that they will not do, and specifically they won't do it because it's too intimate. So it's a fine line to walk, absolutely. Sounds like she did a great job.
Yeah, and she was breathing and actually moaning with me.
Hmm.
Which was interesting. So she was real, she was in it with me, I felt like.
Wow. It's like sharing the sounds. How fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because when sounds happen in sex, I mean, that makes it more intimate as well.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, for me, it wasn't a problem because I've got pretty strong boundaries. Do you know what I mean? I don't have, I don't feel any, I'm not ever concerned or worried about getting a crush on her or falling in love with her or that kind of thing. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
So, I mean, but I could see where some guys might have an issue around that.
Well, when you're coming to someone and you get what you have so been hoping for so long, and you get it exactly the way you want it, and then if pegging is part of the picture, it is, and it has that element of increased intimacy just because of the role reversal and the penetration. Yeah, that can be pretty heady. It really can.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't come away with that. I really did kind of look at her as the equivalent of a massage therapist. And
mm-hmm.
that made it very clear and very simple and very easy for me to do.
Well, and from your perspective, since you had had a lot of self-exploration and self-play, then you knew the ropes and you were just finding out what it was like to incorporate another person and have them do it to you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a huge leap for me at all, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty easy step.
And is it something, this is a kind of a personal question, so answer it if you like, but is it something that you would fantasize about and get off on?
Yeah, because I was beforehand.
Mm. Meaning you were fantasizing about what it would be like to be with someone.
Yeah, or specifically what was going to happen today before it happened today.
Yeah, because it took a few days to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well, that's great. That speaks highly of her because that means the experience was good enough for you to where you came away from it with fantasy, like masturbation fodder, which is always fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, how exciting. I can hear the wheels turning in your head.
Oh, they are. Yeah, I'm replaying it in my head.
I know. You get real quiet, and I'm like, yeah, I can tell what he's thinking about.
I'm just replaying everything in my head. Yeah.
Well, one of the places that I actually refer guys to when they're considering going to a pro, interestingly enough, is a Reddit thread. And a guy did an AMA, which is Ask Me Anything, on the Reddit boards, the Reddit sex group. And basically he said, I am a man who patronizes prostitutes pretty regularly and have for many years, you know, Ask Me Anything. And it had a lot of good information. And from what I gathered, and of course, a lot of guys wanted to know, a lot of people wanted to know, just how to be safe and how to make sure to try and at least reduce, if not eliminate, that feeling of, okay, what if it all goes bad and I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time situation. And in that thread somewhere is a referral to some kind of boards where you can actually leave referrals or reviews. And it's interesting because that means a lot to them. People go to that place to look for people. And, oh, Dan Savage came up with he had the best lead into a podcast recently, and he talked about, okay, what we really need with sex workers is we need a system. We need a system that registers them and registers the people who patronizes them. So then what we have, if we have a system that registers them and a system that registers the people who patronize the sex workers, we have a whole lot more safety. And that's what everybody keeps talking about, is they want safety for the women. That's like the rallying cry. That's why supposedly they want it to still be illegal. But in reality, if you had the system, it would make it so much safer. There'd be the health checkups that you could see online. No underage women could do it, or men either. So yeah, someday we'll get there. Someday.
Well, then it will look like Amsterdam, I guess.
Perhaps. Have you been to Amsterdam?
Yeah, I have, actually. Yeah.
And have you ever gone to a sex worker before?
I have not.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have not. And I think that was part of the appeal with this one, was that she was so specific. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? She had the specific niche that I was looking for and was not going to... I guess that's kind of what gave me the sense of security around the legal issue, is because I figured that, you know, she's the type of worker that wouldn't necessarily, like I say, be the ones that the police would be staking out or something like that. You know what I mean? Because it's such a small niche. And it's not
mm-hmm.
really conventional. It's not really what people think of when they think of prostitution.
Well, I would also... If it were you, and I was trying to imagine what it would be like being you, if I got there and realized pretty much that this is her home, that would have put me so much more at ease, because that's a lot of trust to bring someone in your home.
Yeah, it was. And it was, you know, it was interesting because she was just completely comfortable with what herself and what she does and the environment she was in. And, you know, the boundaries and rules were very clear, and I was completely fine with that.
Hmm.
I I wasn't going to be the type of person who was going to break any of her rules. And that's yeah. I just think that's the whole thing is it's all a leap of faith, really, in a sense. I mean, really, just anything like this is a leap of faith.
Indeed, yes. Yeah. What I thought was, I wonder if she's got like some big 6'5" boyfriend or something, you know, to where, you know, you knock on the door in the middle of the night and you're not supposed to be there and that's who opens the door. That's just like a stereotype that occurs to me.
It wouldn't surprise me at all.
It's like automatically the shaving mirror is connected to the big, huge hunk of a guy.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all in the least. Yeah.
Wow. And I, you know, when I recommend this to guys, I wrote an article about all the reasons why it's a valid choice. And yet, either it's the fear of the legality, which absolutely, you know, I get that one. Or more unfortunately, it's when there's I get the I've never paid for it in my entire life and I'm not going to start paying for it now. It's like, okay, well, have fun trying to find a woman to peg you then. Because it's not easily done.
No. No, it's not.
How long have you been looking? Do you mind me asking?
I would say the last, I think I first articulated this to one of my close friends probably two and a half years ago. I think this has been going on in my mind probably for the last 4 years or so.
Mm-hmm. 4 years. Yep.
Yeah. And I figured, you know, I don't have a girlfriend right now, you know. It seemed like the right time to take responsibility for this, in a sense.
What an interesting way to look at it. Wow.
Yeah. Because, no one's going to, if you don't, what are you going to, basically I looked at it this way. Am I going to sit around and wonder what it's like? Like I told you earlier, am I going to sit around and wonder what it's like forever? Or am I going to go ahead and take the plunge and find out what it's like and then get on with my life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
In whatever way that continues, yes.
Yeah, and I think that you know, when we have kind of desires like this, especially things that we can't talk to other people about, you know, that we can't realize, it's a fantasy, we can't realize it, we can't talk to other people about it except in anonymous interviews on Pegging podcast. You know,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, okay, so what are you going to do about it? You know, are you going to do something about it? And live your life and say, okay, you know what? This is something I wanted to do, and I did it, and I made it happen, right?
Mm.
Or you could just kind of wonder and listen to your podcast and wonder if you'll ever find a girl who'll peg you.
I know exactly what you mean. That is the crossroads that I came to. I haven't looked back, and I'm really glad that when I came to that crossroads that I decided, because like you, now you're past that point and you're not going, wow, I wonder what it would be like if.
Yeah, that's basically what I mean by taking responsibility is, you know, are you going to sit around and wonder, or are you going to find a way to make it happen? And what's the best way to make it happen?
Mm-hmm. Owning the whole thing is... For me, it was almost like I felt a part of me relax inside, because it's like, okay, so like you say, it's a good way to put it. I've taken responsibility for this and I've explored it. And that takes courage.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, it takes a lot of courage. So good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a shame that, again, it's a shame that it's not legal and everything and all that. You know what I mean? It's not... You know, you not only have the social stigma against it, but you also have the legality against it, and those are two big obstacles, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just let you know off the bat, I'm super, super politically liberal, you know, socially and economically, politically very, very liberal, and I think that that is, you know, an advantage for me to seek something like this out, because I don't have any of the religious upbringing baggage or any of that on top of the rest of it, you know, or the homophobic issues on top of it, you know, is this going to make a day, right? I mean, so I don't have any of that, you know, and I think that actually on top of what I've already said, those are probably other other obstacles for guys too, you know.
Yeah, you don't have that to the point where you actually called me up and said, hey, this would make a good interview. And I couldn't agree with you more.
Well, and you're doing me a favor, like I said, because I don't have anyone else to talk to about this.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, we could do regular anonymous chats because I'm just, you know, if I go do this again, I'll probably have more to talk about.
Well, and that's what I'm hoping my phone line becomes, because, you know, that happens a lot with pegging, is that guys want to talk about this stuff and really they don't really have anybody to talk with about it. It's the rare man who has either close enough guy friends to where they can actually talk about this kind of stuff, or maybe an understanding girlfriend who they talk about everything with, and I mean just a friend. But, you know, if they're not to the point where they're really going to come out and own it, and there's a lot of good reasons why guys don't, then it's tough to find anybody to talk to about it. Which is why I get all kinds of messages saying, I just want to talk with you about this.
You're like, you start charging by the hour for coaching, right? Counseling.
You know, it's tempting. It is. I mean, everybody needs somebody to talk to, especially about something that is really kind of turns things on its head a bit, you know, the way that pegging does. It puts you through some changes. It messes with your head a little bit. And in my world, it messes with your head in the nicest of ways. But a lot of people are unprepared for it. And they start feeling all of the different, you know, desires and things and the reactions and the emotional connections and things. And they're kind of blown away. The last two classes that I taught, I actually broached the emotional topic quite a bit. And both times I had guys come up to me afterwards and say, thank you. Thank you for it not being a class just about techniques and equipment and cleanliness and all of the other stuff. Thanks for actually going there and talking about the emotional part of it. So yeah. That is something that, you know, I don't know if you're going to end up wanting this or not, but it's something that if you end up deciding that you love pegging, that I hope you get to experience with a loving partner, because it's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. I can see that now. I can see the potential for that now.
Mm-hmm. You described it well in terms of the, you know, like locking eyes with the woman when you're making love with her. Yeah, it's the same thing. So here's a question for you.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that the next time you have just regular sex with a woman, is there anything that you might do differently because of what you experienced today?
I don't know if there's anything that I would do differently. I can't think of anything that I would do differently.
Or be more aware of, or spend more time on, or notice more.
I think you're hitting on it, because I think I would, I think it would deepen my overall awareness of the experience, because I have a sense of, you know, I have a sense of being penetrated now, right?
Yeah.
So in that respect, but I can't predict, you know, how different or in what way. I think it will deepen the awareness of it, though.
Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of women say that after they start pegging with their partner, that he spends more time on foreplay, and he just kind of softens just a little bit more, which I thought was interesting. But, you know, we're talking about stereotypical gender roles, because there's all kinds of things people mix with pegging as well, the dominance and submission and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. It's interesting for me too, because I have a dominant side. You know, I like to tie women up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is real interesting too for me, because that just kind of entry level bondage, right? Nothing terribly kinky, but definitely tying up. You know,
mm-hmm. Like the under the bed restraint system. Sport sheet.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. The entry level.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, so basically at that entry level, so I have, right around the time I started experimenting with myself, I was actually experimenting with the women I was with and amping up my dominance. So it's kind of interesting to have the two sides kind of co-evolve, because they're kind of two sides of the same coin, I guess, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I had one girlfriend in particular a couple of years ago that I really amped it up with, and it was really exciting for both of us, because both of us were doing stuff that we hadn't done before.
Well, I was going to say I get a lot of letters from guys who are naturally dominant, who really want to explore the pegging, but they're so concerned about maintaining that dominance. And I think what ends up happening is they, in their heads, they sort of think, okay, if I end up exploring the pegging with my partner, then I'm going to have to do the whole 180. And I'm going to have to like totally be submissive. And it's sort of a black and white way of looking at it. And
right.
And it seems like they kind of go, they go blank. They just don't quite get it, that there's lots of in-betweens there. There's so many different levels of it. And I just throw it out there and say, look, you know, you can be as dominant as you want to be. You can tie her to the bed and ride her. You can tie her to a chair and ride her. You can put a blindfold on her. You can put a ball gag in. You can do whatever you want, you know, or you can order her to do certain things. And they go, oh, it's almost like the thought of doing the pegging and being penetrated. They just sort of lose the whole concept of of the dominance. But there is no denying that absolutely vulnerability will happen, because it's almost a necessity to be vulnerable when you're penetrated. That just comes with the territory.
Mm-hmm. I actually would say, I mean, to what you're talking about, this sort of the black and white nature of men, in the sense, it's like we do kind of carry that around as men, and especially in post-feminism, you know, where we don't have a really clear defined role or way to be as men.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really large conversation that we could get into.
Yeah, it is.
But the idea is that these guys that are struggling with it, they don't see the gradients, because there's only one way that they think they need to be, and it's really kind of what's left of their upbringing or what they picked up as they were growing up, because there's nothing out there now for them to grab onto.
Mm-hmm.
And so they tend to identify with whatever, if it's a black or white image, they tend to identify with that image really, really strongly. So in order to be a man, I must be dominant all the time.
Mm-hmm.
In order to express masculinity, I have to be dominant all the time. And it doesn't allow for the gray area in between. And that's why I kind of blanch over when I hear, you know, definitions of masculinity and femininity,
because
I don't think they're very useful anymore.
No, I mean, part of what I've noticed in this whole journey is that, first of all, you know, men are really hobbled emotionally by society, and there's some TED talks that Brené Brown does that talk about shame and vulnerability, and one of the things that she touches on is that men in our society, the one thing they're never, ever, ever allowed to show is weakness. Okay, so given that, the really unfortunate thing is that weakness is very, very often conflated with vulnerability, even though it's not true. It takes actually a very strong inner core to allow yourself to be vulnerable. It's not a weakness, but it's seen that way. So that's part of what makes it difficult sometimes for men, is the vulnerability. But then the other part of it is that emotionally, women have been given carte blanche for years and years and years. Men have been expected, when they have an emotional woman on their hands, to hold space for her and take care of her emotions and deal, right? Women don't have that experience at all, at all, at all. We do not have any experience of taking our own emotions and putting them aside and taking care of a guy who's emotional. And the really interesting thing is that pegging can actually bring up an emotional outpouring about as often, which isn't really often, as G-spot stimulation can bring an emotional reaction in women. You ask a crowd of women, how many of you have had this happen when you have your G-spot stimulated? You have all of this emotion come up. One or two or three women raise their hands out of 10. And it happens with guys too. And it can be a very really delicate situation, because women don't know how to handle it. And women are not used to seeing men in a very vulnerable space or an emotional space. And sometimes they can't stand it, because their black and white thing is, I need my guy to be strong. I need him to be masculine. I need my guy, personally speaking, as Ruby, I need my guy to be whole. That's what I need. I want him to be everything that he is, and I want to be able to hold space for those parts where he needs it. But it's a learned thing, really is.
Well, and you said it so clearly. You know, basically, I wouldn't really have anything to add, because that's exactly the case. And that's why I think it is kind of a new age. I mean, you talk about male vulnerability. Male vulnerability is also involved when guys are asking women out or asking women for what they want, you know, putting themselves there and that kind of thing. You're vulnerable. As soon as I tell a woman I want her to peg me, I'm completely vulnerable, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, so this idea of me being dominant or forthright or making the first move, whatever that looks like for in any number of forms for any number of men and women, you know, these are still acts of vulnerability as well. And the weakness that can be observed as the result of a rejection is not, you know, it's something that people are disgusted by.
Yeah, some women are. I know. It's really sad. Yeah. And it's a perceived weakness. It's not a real one. It's a vulnerability. So it's really just more of a perceived weakness. I mean, in my last class, I had a young man say, you know, men... We got into a fabulous discussion after my class, and he said men even get concerned, like, say, you know, you make love and you're cuddling afterwards, and just for once, you cuddle up and you put your head on her chest. And a lot of times what's going through your head is you're sitting there going, you know, is this weird? Is she going to think this is weird? Is this, like, not manly? Is this not masculine? Is this okay? And I thought, oh, my gosh, how sad that we can't just, you know, relax about all this.
It's almost the men's equivalent. I mean, the men's counterpart to women that are always obsessing about, do I look okay? You know, am I fat?
Yeah.
You know,
that's a really good point.
It's almost our equivalent, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good point. I know that's why some of the young men I've known, they say, you know, it's like a young woman in bed, that's all she's thinking about is how she looks. And it gets really frustrating. And I know that not all women are, young women are like that, but. Yeah, the way that society also dictates to us how we're supposed to be, like men are supposed to be dominant and women are supposed to be submissive, should you end up deciding you want to explore the other side of things, really hard to find a really, really young woman who is naturally dominant because society comes down on her so hard.
Yeah.
Most of us who decide that we want to explore any measure of dominance do so when we get to an age where we don't give a fuck what anybody thinks. We're going to do what we want. And that takes a while.
Yeah, it does. It does. And I think, you know, I think that there is something to be said about the, I don't know whether it's a Jewish thing or what, but life begins at 40. You know, I think for me personally, I think that when somebody told me that a long, long time ago, now I get it.
I had a girlfriend say, you know, one of the best things at turning 40 is, she was a coworker having her 40th birthday. And I think I was probably about, well, I don't know, 30 at the time. And she said, one of the best things about turning 40 is you don't care what anybody thinks anymore. You just do what you want. And when she said that, I thought, oh, my gosh, that would be so cool. Here I am. So it's nice.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, it is. And I wish that I had the magic wand that could bring this earlier to the next generation, you know. I know that I've raised my daughter to where she will not have to struggle with a lot of what I did. And it wasn't like I was raised all conservatively or weird. I'm quite liberal like you are. But still, there's so much of what my generation did to women that is just not happening with hers. I think one of the stories I enjoy the most, not about her, but it's a young man who wrote in and said, you know, some of our friends knew that my girlfriend and I did pegging, just a few of them, not a lot, but some of them did, until we went to that wedding and we were at the reception and all of our friends were sitting at the same table and my girlfriend drank a little bit too much. And she announces to the table and just waxes poetic about how much he loves pegging, right? And he just kind of went with it, smiled, laughed, you know, probably got a little embarrassed. But here's what he said. He said, you know, without exception, every single man at that table came to him privately and said, so tell me about this. Now, I'm thinking they're probably in their late 20s, max, this couple. So, you know, I have a lot of hope for the generation coming up that they're able to let go of all this stuff and reach that point where you just go, okay, I'm actually going to be and do what I want, you know?
Right. That would be great. I am a fan.
I'm glad. And I can't tell you how happy I am that you called up and wanted to share all this, because there is nothing more powerful than a first person story. It's an amazing story to share, and I really appreciate you sharing it. And I think my listeners are really going to enjoy it. And thank you, sir, for being my very first interview. Anonymous, obviously, but my first interview.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and you know, part of the reason I'm doing it is because I know that it's for somebody, it's groundbreaking.
Yes.
For a lot of guys, it's going to be a groundbreaking story, so I thought it was kind of important.
It is. It absolutely is really important, and thanks for being the one brave enough to share it. Absolutely.
Thank you. Thanks, Ruby. Good night.
Good night.
Well, what a story. Thanks one more time to the gentleman who called in and talked to me about this. The reason I was so thrilled to get this interview was because I have been wanting to present the possibility of going to a professional in a way that I was fairly certain it could work. And this story this gentleman shared with me is pretty much exactly what I was hoping for. Now, I know it's not going to happen like that every time. I know that that it's a risk every time you do it. But at the same time, if you take those precautions, like he spoke of, and you're careful, this is what it can be like. So I hope it perhaps swayed a few of you. And I know that there's a group of you out there that would never, ever consider this, but just wanted to put it out there as an option. So, you can leave your questions and requests for interviews at 805-500-6544. That's 805-500-6544. You can follow me on Twitter at @Ruby_Writer. I have a Facebook page. I'd love a thumbs up on it. Subscribe to my blog, which has sexy pictures and things that never show up in my podcast. And my podcast itself is on iTunes and can also be listened to directly from my blog. If you download it from iTunes and you take the time to rate it and give me a cool review, it would be awesome. And again, please send your questions and your stories to ruby@peggingparadise.com. Or you can give me a call. Thank you for downloading and listening, and happy pegging.